Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, we preface this by saying we're not saying the Texans are the Chiefs. The Chiefs are the two-time defending Super Bowl champions. Texans have never made it to an AFC title game. We get that. But I think, Seth, you and I had a similar reaction in watching the Chiefs beat the Saints last night, but really more so in watching the way the Texans have operated this season and the way the Chiefs have largely operated, not just this season, but last season as well, really ever since Steve Spagnuolo got there as a defensive coordinator, is that, yeah, Patrick Mahomes is the face of that franchise, and he's the guy making big plays on offense for them when they need it to win all these games. But defense has kind of become just as much a calling card for the Chiefs as Patrick Mahomes is on the offensive side of the ball. And this Texans team so far, while CJ has had, I think, a good year, not a great year, but a good year, the Texans defense has been very, very good, and especially very, very good in a complimentary fashion in getting the ball back for the offense the last couple weeks.
They're actually doing way better defensively in terms of DVOA than I thought they would. Where are they, Sean? I had looked
fourth.
It up beforehand.
They're fourth.
Fourth in DVOA, which there's something that doesn't quite 100% match up there. I think the biggest thing is that because the pass rush hasn't been as fearsome as we expected, it's kind of like the receivers on offense.
Yeah.
You're feeling like, oh, God, there's something untapped here. But they've been playing, they've been getting pressure, they've been making quarterbacks uncomfortable, and they've been playing good coverage to the point where, yeah, they're making it really hard for offenses to operate. I think the reason it doesn't feel like as good of a defense as it could be is that they haven't been taking balls away a lot at all. And that's where the opportunistic side of things, and the thing that leads to landslide victories a lot of times ends up being turnovers, and the Texans just haven't been that opportunistic. So it just feels like you're sitting on untapped potential still with the defense.
Yeah, well, theoretically it would be compounded by the fact that CJ and the offense have been a little bit more careless with the ball this year. You know, CJ's already thrown, at this time last year, he had yet to throw an interception. He's thrown three already this year, and he fumbled a ball deep in his own territory last week.
And that's where I think, again, with the Texans and the Chiefs being somewhat similar, they're both -3 or -4 in turnover ratio. Yeah. It's just the kind of stuff that no matter how good you are or who you are as an NFL team, that it's hard to overcome negative turnover ratios and look like you're really humming on all cylinders.
They've had some really, I think, kind of guys stepping up performance-wise, and I think one of them has been Henry Toa-Toa. So I think Toa-Toa has been really nice as that second linebacker as Christian Harris deals with whatever this long, lingering injury is of his. And by the way, for those who missed it, Christian Harris will not be activated this week, so he's out for another week. He's really only participated in one practice this whole year, including training camp. Here was D'Amico Ryans on Henry Toa-Toa so far this year.
Henry has done a really great job. Henry had one of his better games this past week. He's playing physical. He's playing fast, just all over the field. So encouraged with his growth and his improvement. Coach Davis has done a great job with helping his development.
Yeah, and I think with Christian Harris, if he ever did come back, it's interesting. It's not, I don't feel about the linebackers like in the way that I might have predicted I would in July, where I was kind of waiting with Toa-Toa because, man, I wasn't super excited about what he did his rookie year. He came back and he's been a completely different guy. As he said, he called himself fat last year. That's not me saying it. That's what he said. He said I was fat or I was tubby, whatever he said. He just looks like a sleeker, more athletic guy, and he's playing with a lot more confidence and decisiveness. And he's been good. But I still, you look at the way they're divvying up reps on defense, and there's times where, man, it would be really nice to have three linebackers out on the field.
Yeah.
But they really only feel comfortable with Henry Toa-Toa and Azeez Alshire. And they're playing a nickel a lot with Jalen Petrie basically as your third linebacker. They're going to do that a lot regardless, but man, there's times where they need three linebackers out there, and they haven't felt confident doing it. So with Christian Harris coming back, it's not, before the season I would have said, oh yeah, they need Christian Harris back because he's better than Henry Toa-Toa. Now I'd say like, no, they just need three good linebackers out on the field at times.
What have you thought of Petrie this year so far?
Petrie is like exactly, I think he's got weaknesses in man coverage that good teams are going to be able to figure out and try to exploit. A team like the Jaguars just doesn't have enough guys to exploit it. But as a nickel linebacker, I like him a lot. Like, I think he plays run well relative to his size. But then there's other times out there, too, where, all right, man, they're just, when he's out there playing linebacker, they're just too light. They're just, their front seven is too light, and they're getting pushed around a little bit.
Here's D'Amico Ryans on the physicality of the two starting corners, Derek Stingley Jr. and Kamar Lassiter.
The emphasis for us is anybody who steps in and plays on our defense, you have to play physical. So whether you're a corner, safety, nobody gets a pass. Like, you have to play physical to play in our defense. So Stingley, he stepped up yesterday, played well. I think he had like seven tackles, and Kamari had a physical hit as well there. So that's what we're about. When your corners are playing physical, when your receivers are playing physical, that's the makings of a physical football team.
Okay, this is what cropped up last week that concerns me, is that they looked sloppy in their tackling. And this is something that, you know, they focused on it during training camp. Sometimes when you get into in-season, some of the attention to detail on some of that stuff starts to wane a little bit as you're focusing more on scheme, because they were sloppy. Some of the missed tackles. Jalen Petrie had a missed tackle that I'm like, man, Jalen Petrie 3.0 wasn't doing that early in the season. You know, obviously Lassiter had the missed tackle on Keon Coleman, and they were big. These were all big moments. Be physical, get hard hits, but also just do the simple and the easy stuff well, too.
Mm-hmm. Azeez Al-Shaair, you may have said this, he missed a tackle early in the game on James Cook.
Yep.
That was a big one.
Here's
D'Amico Ryans on Azeez Al-Shaair's performance on Sunday.
It was a valiant effort by Azeez to deal what he was dealing with. I can't imagine how he was feeling and what he was going through the night before the game. You know, it was a tough spot for him. So, man, couldn't be more proud of him for stepping up, right, and going out, gutting it out for the team. And as I spoke about Rob earlier, it's the same for Azeez. It's the team first mentality. It wasn't about him. He didn't want to make it a big deal about him. He just wanted to go out and help the team. And he had some nice plays there for us. Wish he would have came down one of those interceptions, but he had a really nice game for us.
He was good, man.
The two potential interceptions. Oh,
yeah. The first one, I have a hard time getting mad at, just because he whipped
around right at the last moment on that one, right? Yeah.
That he had the athleticism to run step for step with that tight end down the seam is impressive unto itself. And Azeez can move. The second one would have been huge, because that was the one where Josh Allen, rolling to his right, tried to kind of do what CJ's done with Nico a few times this year, which is rolling to your right. You got one blade of grass left, and you throw it back across the field. Hit him right in the hands.
Yeah.
Hit him right in the hands. That would have set them up with nice field position right there. But hard to complain.
And then I guess whichever illness it was, hopefully for Azeez Al-Shaair, it was just a stomach bug of some sort, and it's gone, and it's not something that's going to be lingering. That's the kind of thing you can gut your way through for one game, but then if all of a sudden it's a weeks-long ailment, that's a whole different deal.
Yeah, we still got some crumbs coming in on the text page from the Pettycast in the previous segment. Mm-hmm. Someone says, Deshaun was good with O'Brien. Go hire him. They got to fire the coach. $230 million. Might as well try it. Does Deshaun's performance in Cleveland, which has been abysmal since he got there, and they've been trying to pigeonhole him into this... the Kupe Shanahan offense, and it's not working. So that's been a big topic up there, is they're rejiggering the offense to be more Deshaun friendly, which is now outside of Stefanski's kind of knowledge base. Mm-hmm. Does Deshaun's performance here versus how it's been in Cleveland make you feel differently about Bill O'Brien as a coach?
No, because I knew that Deshaun really liked Bill O'Brien's offense, and in 2020 was really starting to come into his own with it. And that wasn't even with Bill O'Brien. It was with Tim Kelly for most of the year.
Yeah.
So it doesn't make me feel differently about it. I think pretty much the standard sentiment people have in Houston right now about Bill O'Brien is, you know what? Give him credit for being however you want to. He's not an atrocious NFL head coach, but he's a horrible general manager.
Yeah.
And I think that you could make an argument for him in Cleveland, especially what Tim Kelly's a tight ends coach with the Giants right now.
That's right.
Could they pry him away from the Giants to
be
the offensive
coordinator? Get the band back together, baby. Yeah.
I could make a really good argument for hiring Bill O'Brien head coach, Tim Kelly offensive coordinator, since you are stuck with Deshaun.
You're stuck.
If Yes. If you got to do everything you can to try to recapture something here, all right, well, let's go get the guys that at least have had it had shown promise and progress at one point in time.
$172 million on the cap they still have committed to him after this year. After this year.
I feel like Bill O'Brien and Tim Kelly, that dynamic duo, that might be the only reasonable choice right now.
Yeah, well, you can make an argument for it.
They traded for him based on what they had seen him done,
yes,
mostly with Bill O'Brien / Tim Kelly.
Entirely,
so,
yeah.
All right, well, go for it. Because we're screwed anyway, so let's just go for it.
Yeah, yeah. God, I wonder,
now the question is, all right, who's your GM? Can Bill O'Brien actually coexist with an NFL GM?
With an NFL GM. Yeah. I see enough interviews with O'Brien since he got up to Boston. And I don't know what they're paying him at BC. It's not an NFL coach's head salary, mm-hmm, I'm sure. But I do wonder, especially given the fact that Bill's got his son Jack, who's got extremely special needs for what afflicts him. You know, he's got lissencephaly, which is a brain condition. That they're near doctors that they know, that they're near family up there. Both their families are from up there.
Yeah,
it's an interesting hypothetical. Like if Bill O'Brien were offered an NFL job again, would he take it, provided he's succeeding at BC? Like we just heard audio from him in the previous segment. He's miserable when he loses, and he's going to lose some more games this year. You know,
the long play would be how long does Jerod Mayo last in New England?
In New England?
And then there's still a whole lot of uncertainty there, too, because you got Vrabel waiting in the wings and everything else. So, I wonder.
Is Deshaun reparable? Can he be repaired at this point? Is he just completely broken? He might be broken.
Yeah,
man.
I think he might be completely broken.
He might be broken.
I mean, whatever led him to live his life the way he was living and just all the stuff that comes after it.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I think he might just be... Kid's just not right in the head no more.
No, that's a good way to put it.
It's a medical diagnosis.
All right, we're going to get to some Texans talk in the 9 o'clock hour. We'll power rank the power rankings. What are the experts saying about the Texans? We'll do that at 9 o'clock. Early storylines on this Patriots game coming up on Sunday. We'll get to that. I love when people reinvent themselves. You know, you get fired from a job, and instead of just cowering in the corner, you go back and you find a way to reinvent yourself. This might be my favorite reinvention of a fired head coach that I've ever watched on the internet before. And trust me, the audio will be good. We'll set the scene with the video too. This is really funny stuff, and it's coming up next.